Hi, friend, and welcome to the Unapologetic Entrepreneur Podcast, a place for passionate entrepreneurs just like yourself who are looking to create a business that integrates into your life instead of taking over it. So let me ask you something. How would it feel to unapologetically chase your definition of success? See, I'm on a mission to do this, and I want you to come along with me in becoming an unapologetic entrepreneur. This is someone who has defined success on their terms and is committed to setting boundaries and making progress towards achieving that success. I'm your host, Amanda McKinney, and after several years of entrepreneurship, I found myself chasing someone else's definition of success, and I actually couldn't answer the question, what does success look like for you, Amanda? This started me on a journey to understanding this answer for myself, and I now understand that our definition of success, it evolves over time. But the key is to always know what our definition is in each season of our life. And on this podcast, I am dedicated to exploring how other entrepreneurs have shown up unapologetically and sharing my journey, of course, too. So pop in those earbuds so we can explore topics such as success, goals, mindset, of course, marketing, and money. You will walk away inspired through stories and ready to take action through clearly defined steps. So let's dig in. Hi, friend. Today we're talking about something that's possibly a brand new concept for you, and it's finding the before step for when people work with you. I have not a better way of saying that other than before step. I thought about it a lot before this podcast episode, and before step just feels right. So I've never talked about this on the podcast before. However, it's very aligned to identifying what your free resource could be. So if you're trying to grow your email list and thinking about a freebie, this is something that you can possibly think about. In episode number 88, I actually shared two questions that help you identify what your freebie would be. And in that conversation, I asked the question, what do you wish someone knew before working with you? And this can often inform whatever your free resource is. However, you can take this a step further. And that's exactly what my guest today has done in her business. So my guest and I were part of a small networking group that was hosted by my PR strategist, Cher Hale. So super shout out to Cher. And when we were talking about her business, I just felt this connection. And I want to mention this specifically because often I get a lot of questions about, Amanda, how do you find all these people you're connected to, whether they're a biz bestie or not? And the answer is that I am very intentional with how I get involved with other people who are in the entrepreneurship space. Very specifically, I find groups of people who have similar values to me. And we're going to talk about this in this episode because it all kind of comes together. Even though we're talking about the before step, it's understanding that we need to connect with people that have similar values. And so I was able to meet Erica, who is the guest today, and it was such a lovely connection. So let me tell you a little bit about her. Erica Corday is a trusted advisor to entrepreneurs and executive teams committed to shifting focus, power, and resources in order to create more equity in their business and in the world. In 2018, she co-founded Pause on the Play podcast. Be sure to go listen to that one. And after receiving questions, this expanded into community and consultancy as well. Her leadership has now helped thousands of individuals define their values, diversify their networks, and call people into conversations about inclusivity and individuality. So good. She's a certified coach and a 20-year beauty industry veteran. Erica has provided training for established businesses such as Blue Cross Blue Shield and Paul Mitchell School. Her voice has been featured on podcasts, workshops, and online communities with a combined reach of over 50,000 people. So amazing. She's done such great things in this world. And Erica and her business partner, India, identified the before step. And this is what really got me interested. When she and I connected and she said that every single client that she or India work with has to go through this one workshop first, I thought that is genius. And so in this episode, I ask her all the questions about how in the world she got there. As soon as you heard that, you were probably really curious too of how in the world do you figure this out? Once you figure it out, what do? So we talk about it all. And this has helped her business grow, And it has, more importantly, helped her business grow in a way that's a win-win for everyone. Because what they found out was when this particular workshop was done, things worked better. When this particular workshop was not done with their clients, things felt more difficult. So she's going to help you walk through this for your own business. And all along the way, she's a great reminder of understanding that no one's in the same spot in business. So all along the way, she reminds you to understand where you are in your business and also what season of life you're in as well. So I'm going to turn the mic over to Erica, and I cannot wait to hear what you think about this episode. So be sure to let me know. Tag me on an Instagram story if you're up for it, or send me a DM as you're listening, and I would love to hear from you. So let's talk to Erica. Erica, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast. I'm so excited to have you here today.
Amanda, it is all my pleasure. I am fully here for this, and I am looking forward to this conversation.
Me too. So I want to set the stage for everyone for our conversation that you and I connected on a really cool networking event. Shout out to Cher Hale for this. And I just love that she connected different people that may not ever connect with each other. You and I connected, and I thought, dang, you are doing some amazing things in this world. So then you and I connected over just a general like coffee chat, Zoom chat. And the reason I'm sharing so much detail about this is because I get a lot of questions from people in my audience that say, how do you find your business friends? Like, how do you connect with all these people? And the answer is, you and I were on a Zoom call and I thought, oh, I like what she's doing. So I reached out and said, hey, do you want to have a 30-minute Zoom chat?
Right.
And now you get to be a guest on the podcast. And so that's how you and I connected, and I just love it. So I don't know if you want to share anything more about that, because a lot of people have questions about how people connect in general.
Well, the interesting thing is, I think sometimes we can overthink it, because before we got online, we knew that, you know, we were standing in line somewhere and we spoke to someone, or we walked past someone and maybe you opened the door and there was just a couple extra sentences and you just kept talking after those. And online, it's like, well, I'm in my box at home and you're in your box at home and we're in our little Zoom boxes on the screen. What do we do with this?
Right.
And there can be this challenge of, how do you break the ice? How do you go beyond just being another name along with the picture on the screen? And it literally just goes to, one, being in more spaces, because the more spaces you're in, the more opportunities there are to find people that feel like they're aligned with their personality, their energy, their values, and how they're showing up and what they're doing. And just the general curiosity is there. And it's just talking to them like humans. It's getting out of the, well, what do you do? It's like, no, who are you? Tell me about you. You know, how are you today? Like, no, actually, let's talk.
Right.
And being able to be humans gives you a place of really being able to connect with the person, which in my opinion is, you know, from a logistics in the business space, that's how all good business is done.
Right. It's so true. And you're so right about us overthinking it. And how interesting. I've never really thought about how we don't really overthink, like, what in a line of at the coffee shop or holding the door for someone and you ask a few questions and you don't really overthink that because it's happening instantaneously, maybe. But online, my goodness, we can get in our own head. Like, what is she going to think if I say this thing? Or what? Right. I don't know. We just really overthink it. It's like the easiest way to say that. And, but really, it's, we have to put ourselves out there. Not that anyone has to like do things that they're just totally uncomfortable doing, but showing up to a random networking call that is with like-minded people, right? We just both showed up and we're like, hey, like, I don't know if you knew what to expect. I just knew to expect awesome people. That's all I knew.
I knew I had someone that I valued and I respected and I trusted. And so I had no reason to not feel similarly about the people that they were going to connect me with. It's just that they knew them and I didn't know them yet. Mm-hmm. And so I got a number of great connections from it. And again, I love the way that it was done, because networking, again, can always be so stiff and there's a lot of pretense. So something that really does allow you to show up more as a human, I think there's a whole lot more opportunity to actually showcase what matters to you and what you do in a very different way than, you know, here's my elevator pitch.
I love that. Well, I'm going to make sure to tell Cher, like, she needs to do more of these because she did it in a really unique way. And, right. and like you said, she knows us all in mm-hmm. different capacities and thought, I'm going to put these people together, invite them to this thing. And then we got to meet each other, which has led to, like you said, right. I've met some incredible people like yourself that now we get to support one another. You know, I fully expect and hope that on a day when you're like, I need support and Amanda's popping in my mind, that you'll send me an email and be like, hey, I need support with this thing, or I'm launching this thing and I'd love for you to share it with your people or whatever it is. Cause now we're connected. And like you said, not just connected, like, hey, what's your elevator pitch? It's like, we know a little bit more about each other's lives than that. Not that we know everything, but we know a little bit more. So we feel more connected.
Right. And then we're also a lot more receptive and respective ways about, hey, I know that you have a lot going on right now, so I don't want to add anything. However, once you're done in about 2 months, would you be interested in connecting to do this? Or, hey, how about blah, blah, blah? Because then you're also being able to take into consideration someone's capacity, the season of life and business that they're in, but also letting them know, like, hey, I didn't forget you. So I think that that can be important because we can go in our little hidey holes. And one of my favorite books, Essentialism,
yes, you know,
he mentioned going in. It's a great book.
We're here. I'm pointing to it. No one can see this on a podcast, but it's right here.
Right. And he's like, you know, I'm writing and I'm in monk mode. And like, I get it. Like, you are fully head down in the thing. And at some point, you're going to want to come out. And sometimes it can be challenging of like, I'm disconnected. I haven't talked to anybody. I forgot how to do this. And so sometimes somebody just being like, hey, I know you're doing this. I didn't forget you. It's cool when you come out. Come on over.
I love that. And it really, like, truly warms my heart. I'm not exactly sure when this is going to air at this moment that we're recording this. But at the moment of the recording, I just told you before we hit the record button, like, hey, I know that you and I had talked about this one thing, and but I have not had the capacity to take action with it. And you were so kind in saying, like, it's fine. I love that you honored your capacity. Like, do it when you're ready. And that's the thing is, like, you know that I'm in, like, the deep end of the pool of launching a book and getting it out there. And, like, the fact that I just think it's so cool that we've connected on the level of, like, it's not like when we had that initial conversation, it was like, if I can't take action tomorrow, we're no longer friends. Like, that was not the answer. It was like, hey, I understand. I understand. Absolutely. Come when you're ready.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes, I love it. So this actually really connects to the topic that we're talking about, because when you and I were connected on that first call, I was just learning a lot about your business and how I could support you. And one of the things that just lit me up when you were talking about it is that you found what I'm calling the before step for your clients. And it ties into this connection because you were truly trying to, or you figured out what is the before step before someone works with me in a different capacity, and really connecting, not just like not thinking about it. It was very intentional of what is that before step. So will you explain to everyone listening about what that is in your business?
Absolutely. So I am very fortunate to have a business partner that we both do different things. My side is a little more of the diversity, equity, and inclusion consulting side of it. And hers is the marketing, the branding, the visibility. And we found that it worked really well when we were able to bring this together with clients. We would witness people working individually with one of us or both of us. And we're like, for confidentiality purposes, I can't ask you what's happening, but I know you didn't tell them to do that. We started being like, okay, if we can combine this together, I think we can get better results for people. And so that was how our shared brand, Pause on the Play, was born. And we figured out in working with people that it helps to be able to have our two industries and us as the two individuals being able to confer with one another on how things are actually rolled out, actions that are taken, what are we noticing if certain things are put in place that may or may not be getting the outcomes that we're wanting. And outcomes are not just what's happening in the brand, but what is your capacity? How are you feeling about this? How does this interact with your own work that you're doing as a human? Because there's your business and there's you as a human outside of what you do. And one of the things that we found was that values mattered so much, and it's a cornerstone for everything. And so if today or tomorrow, diversity, equity, and inclusion, the DEI stuff, you didn't need it. Awesome. Great. I'll talk about values, because values, you don't have diversity, equity, and inclusion without addressing values. Mm-hmm. And so we found that we really wanted to focus on that, because a lot of the ideal client avatar work that we've all been told, like, figure out the ideal person, how old are they, how much money do they spend?
Right.
And we could never figure out why we had challenges with that. We ended up figuring out that part of it is that it's really trying to push people into boxes, and it quantifies them based on demographics and not psychographics.
Mm-hmm.
Demographics are awesome for ads. You're running Facebook ads, Google ads. You need to know those things. Targeting there, we understand that. But when you are thinking about who you want to work with, especially knowing that at some point in our businesses, we're going to evolve what we're sharing, what we're selling, the way that we're selling it. And if you're only working with people in demographics, then you haven't connected to them with what matters. And so as we were doing this values work, we're like, wait, this is the ideal client work, but it's ideal client work ethically. And we figured that out. And that was the root of where implicit to explicit was born. And we have done a lot of testing and tweaking and playing with the format and things like that. And what we found was, as we continue to experiment with it, that if we took someone through this, let's say they're working with us for 6 months and we did it in month two, we're like, So we spent a month working on some things, but had we had this earlier, this may have made a difference. And so we could recognize where, if we have this in the very beginning of working with someone, this now dictates everything else that happens. This now sets the stage for every other decision that is taking place. And so we found that in the very beginning of wanting to work with someone in any capacity, or if it's like, hey, I actually have a team and all of these other things in place, but I need the clarity on this thing to figure out how to be an effective and quality leader with them, and knowing where I even want us all to go together, because I'm leading all of us somewhere. And so being able to really understand that, having that pause to figure out what your values are, how it is that they filter into the values of the brand, how it is that you do this with your team, and how it is that this now creates the filter for every other action that you take. That was the game changer for everything.
Oh, so well said. Thank you for walking through that, because I'm making an assumption here, which I think is fair, but correct me if I'm wrong, that took a while, right? So it wasn't like you knew that right away. What I heard in all of that was, we worked with these people and we realized, oh, if we had done that in the first step instead of the second step or second month or whatever the case it was, that you had to work with people in order to figure that out. And the reason I'm calling attention to that is because so many people, especially in my audience, because I know from them so well, talking about those psychographics, right? Not demographics, but the people who are coming to me for advice and suggestions, they often fall into the trap of, it can be called perfectionism, it can be called many different things of, I have to have it figured out first. But the answer really is, take action, because you'll figure out what that thing is. And I just love that you were talking about how working with people, then you figured out, like, oh, if we had done this earlier, everything else would be easier. So that's what that, like, that's the answer of, like, everyone listening of, like, what is that step that would make it easier?
Well, because the interesting part is that we have a desire to skip the process. And that's really what that would be. If like you knew, it's like, but then you didn't go through the process. You don't know the why. You don't know why it's so pivotal. You don't have that understanding of what happens when you don't. Because part of what can happen is let's say I gave you the blueprint and then you decided, hey, okay, I know what to do, but I think I can skip these steps. You don't have the tangible understanding as to what happens when those steps get skipped. And even as someone that, you know, we completely figured out what worked for us. And it wasn't tied to industry or anything like that. We knew that no matter what you sold, who you were selling it to, what industry you were in, age demographic, none of that mattered. You still need to start with the values. And so every time that there's a desire of like, well, maybe we can, then it's like, wait, we know what happens when we don't, because it's been proven. And it's like, no, we stick to the process because we figured out why it doesn't work when we deviate from that. And the only way that you can really find that is by experimenting, because part of it is there's the piece of this needs to happen first. But there was also the how does this work best? How is this best facilitated? How many people need to be in this container? How long? You know, where do breaks show up? What happens before? What happens after? Like there's so many nuanced layers of it that you don't get without the testing and tweaking and experimentation phase. Because then you just go with what everyone else has done. You assume that that's the thing. And then you still end up having to experiment. But then you've experimented by essentially trying on someone else's wardrobe to find that it didn't work.
Right. Gosh, I think we can so easily fall into that trap if we're not careful. Because like you said, we want to skip the process. We want the result right now. That's just how we're built as humans, I think, is like we want things in a microwave instead of an oven. We just want that so fast that I love that phrase of like, but maybe I can,
that you know, part.
Maybe I can skip this. If we catch that, like, thank you for sharing those words, because I think that's going to be the thing. Someone listening is going to have this moment in 6 months from now and they'll be like, oh my gosh, I just thought the exact words that Erica said. And that they'll catch themselves, you know?
Right.
So,
and it's an ongoing process. So thank you for saying that too. Like reminding people like, oh, that thing, it's a process. So give yourself grace and be patient.
Yes, so much. And I'm bringing it back to something you said very early on in this conversation of things evolve in business and in what we share and who we're working with and that sort of thing. So to piggyback on that, it's a process. It's a process you're going to have to keep revisiting as things change in your business too, which some people are just like, are you joking, Amanda? Like, why did you, what? So there really isn't like a end.
No.
But I do think that as we grow as entrepreneurs, things get easier to navigate and we often get quicker with navigating.
I think part of it is that if you are giving yourself the space and the grace to experiment and to fail, which failure is not the end, failure is a discovery process, then the more you are willing to iterate in that way, then the more willing you are to understand that it is a simpler process to let go of what doesn't work than to stay married to something that is defunct. And so I think that that's a big part of it, because in the very beginning, again, we want it to all work. We want it to be perfect. Not that that all ever completely goes away, but I think that the more you've done it, the more willing you are to understand that it's an ongoing process. And honestly, a big part of that, and I'll say this is a personal thing for me, is it's parenting. The more you are willing to be in relationship with these people that you brought into the world, but that you don't own, they're not property, they're their own individuals, the more you are willing to understand that it's not going to be perfect. There are going to be times that you're going to disagree. There are going to be times that, you know, as the parent, you're not going to get it right. But the challenge, you know, for me, isn't if I get it wrong, it's what happens next. And so I've been very fortunate that I have two empathetic, intelligent, insightful, amazing children. And we have very open conversations about like, hey, I didn't do that great. And I can apologize for that. And, you know, you can even maybe share where you were in that moment when it happened and what happens next. And this is something that we do with one another. And so the more that you are comfortable with the imperfection of it, I think the better results that you can get because you're willing to just try.
Beautifully said. Thank you so much for sharing a little insight into your personal life too, because there are so many people, whether they're parents or not, who are listening and think and starting to relate this to other types of relationships, right? We're talking about business primarily, but the chances are we often treat things a little differently in our business. We kind of put on a different hat and we kind of, it's easy to let go of something that works really well in every other aspect of our life, check it at the door for some reason and not bring it into our business. And what you just did is shared something that is so helpful of if your kid or you're dealing with something in your family relationships and any, or friend relationships or anything.
Any relationship.
And you make a mistake because let's face it, we all do make mistakes in relationships, right?
Correct.
You go to that person and you say, shoot, I'm sorry. I did not mean to do what I did here. Like for whatever words there that are needed, I messed up. I'm so sorry. Here's how I'm going to move forward in the future. Why can't we do that in business? Like we we show up and right. Sometimes it's a conversation with ourselves, right? Of like, okay, I did this thing. It didn't work. But here's what I'm going to do in the future versus like, I am a failure as a business owner. Like it happens so quick.
Right. And you're not a failure because you made a decision based on the best that you had access to at that moment. That does not define you for forever if you don't allow it to.
Yes. I mean, there's the nugget. There's so many already in this. But this, it's so good. You know, we have to remember to separate ourselves from a situation that happened and we were in control of it most of the time. Not all the time, but most of the time, we made a decision in our business. And so we easily take it on ourselves and think, I failed. I'm a failure versus like, versus like, I made a choice based on everything I had access to, all the information I had. I made the best choice I could. Turns out it didn't work out so well, but I learned.
Correct.
But thank you for sharing that. It was really helpful to like hear that from a different angle of parenting and in relationships, because I think that it often strikes a different chord. So thank you for being open and sharing that. Hey there. I promise I'll get you right back to this great episode, but I wanted to pop in and make sure that you knew that my book, Why Not You? An Accidental Entrepreneur's Guide to Success is published and waiting for you. I wrote this book for anyone who feels like they are stumbling into entrepreneurship and has more questions and doubts than you have answers. While you can find answers to most things you want to learn through a simple Google search, those search results are not going to tell you what you want and how you work best. This book helps you explore what you truly want as an entrepreneur so that you can build a business that integrates into your life instead of taking it over. We explore your desires, your strengths, and I help you create what I call your YOU promise. And this will serve as your compass throughout entrepreneurship. It's a book filled with inspiration and very tactical tips that you can take right now, and I can't wait for you to get your hands on it. So go search for it wherever you shop for books, or you can even request it from your local library. Okay, I can't wait to see it in your hands, but let's get back to the episode. So once you realized, okay, values is the thing, I'm going to like make some assumptions so that you can correct them if they're wrong of like, you have this program that you are testing in some way. Was this a paid something, a free something? Like, how were you experimenting before it became what it is now?
In the very beginning, it started off as a shorter workshop. So it hadn't been fully expanded yet. So it really started as the concept and it was workshop. And we were like bringing it into other people's communities. We were experimenting with, okay, how is this to do it with individuals? How does this work to do it with a group? There were some points in the initial stages where we were doing it just to try to get the feedback. Mm-hmm. And people were like, hey, I'm willing to come in and try it out. And then it got to the point to where it's like, okay, it is now this iteration. We're charging differently than what we are now. So we started to charge, but of course you're charging for kind of like, okay, we're still working through this because mm-hmm. Because you know what it is at that moment. But what we didn't understand maybe on the surface, but subconsciously we knew like this isn't at its final stage yet. So you're working through and it delivers value and it works for what it is. But you know that this is not the final, you know, kind of like this is where this stays. And I think sometimes people can have a hard time of figuring out that place where they are kind of experimenting and getting some feedback as opposed to, I am going to charge for this iteration because it does work. It just might not stay in this iteration. And so I have witnessed some people stay in that testing and tweaking phase, but they never charge. And sometimes what can happen is you can almost give yourself a psychological devaluing of what you're creating. Because you have decided, well, why am I charging for anyone? It isn't finalized yet. I don't know. And it's like, so if that was the case, then we could never charge for fashion because it's always iterative. It never stays. It's always changing. It's always evolving. The hemlines change. The cut of the sleeve changes. The neckline changes. And so if you witness something that you are creating and you devalue charging for it because you're still iterating, when are you not iterating?
Gosh, that is such a great analogy. So good. Everyone is just like, yes, I'm going to charge $10 for that thing on my website right now, which we both say, go, do, you know?
Yes.
I totally agree that I myself have fallen into this bucket. I've witnessed other people falling into the bucket of, I can't charge yet. I know I'm going to one day, but I can't. And I don't know about you, so I'm only going to speak on my experience right now. But once I really started to pay attention to people's behaviors with my offerings, mm-hmm. I realized that the statement is very true of people who pay attention. And the difference is now, absolutely, I have free things on my website. I also have mm-hmm. a podcast clearly every week of free right. value. I'm not opposed to having things for free, but there's a tipping point of like, you have to charge for things in order to see the result from your student.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone falls into that bucket, but I definitely saw a clear distinct change when I started to charge even small amounts, small is relative, right? But I started to see the change. And so I really appreciate that you just shared the exact, even though you didn't give a number, which is fine, of like, it was free. We started charging even though we knew it wasn't final. I'm assuming that amount in that container was different, right? It could have been, absolutely. I'm just going to make things up, like it's a 1-hour workshop for X number of dollars, whereas now right. it's a half day retreat for X number of dollars.
Exactly. And the thing that I think I want to make sure it gets picked up too is that, yes, people will pay attention when they pay. That's a big piece of it. But there's also the fact that I think we show up differently.
True. Very true. Absolutely true.
I think that understanding that you can charge as you're going through, because people do that all the time. It's no different than someone that's like, we're in beta. And they'll be, now I do think that there's a difference between trying to charge top dollar for something that you know is not. Like, you're not going to business catfish people with what we offer. But, you know, I think that it is very realistic to acknowledge, yes, this is in beta. I want your feedback. What you're sharing with me can help to shape this. But what I'm giving you still has value. And I'm acknowledging that by asking you to value it and to give me an exchange for what I'm offering.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's so much value. I'm a big, big, big fan of beta testing, no matter what someone calls it,
yes.
of testing something in the phase of like doing a program of any kind and having people pay for it in that stage, because the people mm-hmm. show up differently, you show up differently, and you get more effective feedback is what I would
Correct.
Suggest and say is like the people who pay, even though it's 50% or whatever the cost is for the program, mm-hmm. they show up, they're super excited to be a part of this because they're like, oh my gosh, I get to help you build this and I get a discount. Sign me up.
Right.
And those who don't want the messy part of it won't sign up. Like they're like, I need you to finish this, figure mm-hmm. it out, and I'll come back and pay top dollar once you figure it out.
And that's exactly right. Each of those places aren't for everyone. There are some people that are like, yeah, it's been figured out, but I would have loved to have been a part of the process of creating this. And then there's other people that are like, you know what? I trust that everyone that has been there that contributed to this did it. I am now willing to take it and run with it for you. Give it to me when it's done. But that's also a part of honoring your capacity. And yes. I think that was a big part of the process, us figuring out how long does it take? How are we in relationship with people? What are they, you know? So there were a lot of pieces of who likes what, when, and at what stage.
Right.
And that's a big piece of the figuring out of it and the figuring out of, okay, does this have one iteration or does it have multiple? And that really does just depend on your own capacity, your own client base currently, and what it is that you're offering in a way that it feels good to provide it. How are you getting the outcomes that you're seeking with it?
Fantastic. So I'm trying to break it down here and thinking mm-hmm. like, because again, we can get in our heads and think right. this is too big of a project. I'm right. just sensing like someone on the other end thinking, okay, this sounds amazing, but now I'm entering into a 3-year commitment of trying to figure this out. Like it starts nope. to become a big deal. So you saw, okay, this is happening. This is this thing that we want to start mm-hmm. testing. You start testing it. You're mm-hmm. learning and you're getting paid at the same time to mm-hmm. learn, iterate. And then once you, at what point did you think, or did you two decide, okay, this is now the official before step. And what does that look like now? How, when you kind of turned it on, you know, of like, this right. is the thing that everyone has to go through in order to work with us further.
I think in 2020, which at that point, it had been a year and a half to 2 years, maybe. We had really consciously hit that point of like, yeah, we need this. And once we figured it out, I do want to acknowledge that the time frame may not be the same for everyone. For us, part of what happened was that, you know, COVID came, 2020 and everything that happened with the social uprisings and George Floyd happened. So for us, we had a lot of urgency and just mm-hmm. a surge in business that came in. So I do want to acknowledge that some of the things that I may be laying out in timeline form might be different because of that. So keep into consideration when you think about the timeline, when you might get an influx of clients, what is your flow? Are you moving from one country to another? Whatever that might be, are you having a large life change? Writing a book.
But yes.
these things do play into it. And so I think it's worthwhile to acknowledge that it doesn't happen in a vacuum and there's no one answer. So I just want to give that as I, you know, do share this.
Thank you for that. And I really appreciate the call to attention of like, do you have something going on in your life that's coming up that you can anticipate and plan for?
Right.
And I love the acknowledgement of if you anticipate an influx, like I'm not saying any of us anticipated 2020. Like not many of us anticipated that.
No.
But there are times where we are very strategic in business. For example, if someone's like, Amanda, I want to go on a podcast tour so I can grow my email list and get more leads. Like if you're going to spend 6 months hitting the pavement, getting all these leads in, like there's got to be something at the back end of that funnel.
Right.
of what's happening. And so
right.
this could be something you work on before really starting mm-hmm. to push something, whether it's podcast or ads, whatever, like before you put something into the engine to to make it go, right. Might want to work on this before.
Exactly. And so, and this is where I just want to make sure that people are not trying to replicate something in a way that isn't consciously realistic for what you have and where you are and what your circumstances are. And so it did take, you know, somewhere in that year to 2 year time frame to have that understanding that this needed to shift. But then there was the, okay, how does this shift? What needs to happen? Because the figuring out that it needed to happen also meant, all right, how does that change the way we're working with the people we already have?
Right.
How do we want to catch them up if we want them to be a part of this particular process? How is it that you change your sales process to now include this as their first stop in anything else happening? And one of the things that we did was this became not only the first stop before you work on anything else with us, but this became the stop that maybe this was your destination. Maybe you wanted to get that clarity on the values and you actually wanted to take that and run with it. And you may come back and do something else. Or it may be a part of an ongoing commitment. But again, it was the understanding that there may be a little bit of the choose your own adventure that comes up of like, okay, what's the if this, then that. But it was the knowing that nothing happened until this happened. And so that changed sales pages. That changed sales conversations. That changed any type of actual calls that were happening prior to people booking. This was what happened. And so what we also found was that this needed to happen whether someone worked with us individually or collectively. This was the stop, period. If you don't go through here, do not pass go, do not collect $200. you cannot take the ride because it didn't work when it didn't happen. Now, in the very beginning, it was, well, let's do it and let's see what happens. Because of course, you're going to have some people, oh, I don't need that. I know it. And there's not been one person that has gone through this process with us that was like, oh, I had no idea. It always happens. And so in the very beginning, we were still like, oh, well, I can just. And then it was like, oh, no, we don't do that.
And I love that confidence. And again, the only way you got there was by navigating that messy part in the middle of like, someone's pushing. I'm going to say a boundary, but I'm not meaning
it. No, it's a boundary. Okay. It is a boundary. It's knowing that without this, we can't partner the same way. Mm-hmm. I cannot support you in the same way. You cannot have access to similar results because results may vary.
Right.
And you don't have access to that if you haven't actually worked the process.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took putting this in place and figuring out the tangible pieces of changing the onboarding, what they had to do first, and what the conversations were ongoing, and then having those times where we broke our own process to be like, ooh, no, this is why we don't break the process.
Yes.
We don't do this. And realizing that, again, it had to be the stop for everything. And in the very beginning, because it's a pause on the play system, we didn't think about the fact that, well, pause on the play is actually India Jackson as Flaunt Your Fire and Erica Corday as Erica Corday LLC, which for people that wonder, because you'll see my last name show up. It's my first and my middle name. So I just want to clarify that people are like, that's your name? My first and my middle name. That's what that is. But, you know, we were kind of leaving that behind of like, this isn't just about, this is what happens when we work together. This also needs to happen when we work separately as well. And so pause on the play is the funnel. Pause on the play is where everything comes from. This is from a hierarchical type of perspective. This is where everything will trickle down from. And we figured out like, oh, yeah, I worked with this person and this didn't go the way that I thought it would. Now I know why.
Gosh,
and let's also
so
acknowledge
good.
We're all really hard on ourselves. So that whole like, this didn't go the way I thought it would.
Right.
Our standards, we have to question how high our bar is sometimes. But when you are like, even if it's just something like this didn't flow as easily. Oh, because I didn't get clarity on these values so that not only did you know what they were, but I knew more about who and how you were operating and showing up as a brand and an individual.
Mm. This is fantastic. This is like one of these things that someone hit play on this episode thinking they were like going to figure out this quick thing to like the before step.
Right.
And I'm glad that they got here. And now they're like, oh, shoot, this is a bigger process. But it's so worth it. Thinking about it, like we kind of stumbled into this of calling it a boundary. And you're like, yes, 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 that's what it is. This brings up such an interesting conversation of like, hopefully everyone has set boundaries at some point in their life. Like this was something I had to learn more as an adult in my life. But setting boundaries for ourselves and for others. And we're never perfect at holding that boundary. And we usually don't have the confidence at first of like, I'm just going to let this happen. Like, this is okay. But once we truly step into that boundary and say, this is the line, like whatever that is, whatever you're thinking to whomever is listening of like, whatever just popped in your mind, that's the boundary I want you to think about. Right. Once you honor that boundary, everything gets easier. It's hard to honor the boundary. It's hard to set and honor the boundary. Once you do, you realize, oh, shoot, this is beautiful. How did I not do this before?
Right.
And so that's what we can get to in business with this before step of like, if everyone goes through this step first, we have a better chance of success together on both sides.
Absolutely. And I think it's so important to acknowledge that what feels like the best right now, what feels like the boundary to uphold right now, that is exactly correct because that is the thing right now. And give yourself the grace to know that in 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, it's going to evolve. And so you're going to be able to have some of that perspective of, yes, I remember a point where I didn't do any of this. And I know how that worked for me and how it is that it worked for the people that I was in relationship with. Because that's what our clients are. We're in relationships with them. And it doesn't mean that those relationships were wrong or that they failed or that you weren't doing your job. But this is a part of the process. Everything that we do is about figuring out how is it that I can continue to grow, but how can I also make sure that I'm meeting the needs for right now? And so while I have grown, let's say in the past 20 years, the needs are also different now than what they were then. And so I want to make sure that there is no discounting of, oh, what I was doing then didn't work. It was wrong. It was a failure. No, you did what was needed for that point. And right now we're at a different point in this journey. And this is the one that we're addressing right now. So I don't want any of your iterations or experimentations or results to feel less than because they're different than what they are right now.
That is awesome. And I think everyone needed to hear that, including myself, right? We all need the reminders of it's all a process. It's all an evolution and some things are going to feel easier. Some things are going to feel harder. And at different seasons, everything's going to kind of feel different.
Right.
But going with what feels right and what you're experiencing with your clients and navigating what is the before step is such a valid question to ask and explore. Right. And I would encourage everyone to do just that of like just exploring this idea of, looking back at past clients, which ones, I know we don't like to play favorites. Like anytime I ask a student this, they're like, I don't have a favorite client. I'm like, you know you do.
I was going to say it's not true. It's like, not true.
Right. You don't have to tell anybody else, but think about the person that was just so easy to work with. You know, I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but the other day I had one of the contractors that I have hired to help me in my business asked me if she could interview me because she is working with a business coach. And they said, who of your clients would you like to clone? And I want you to interview them. And she asked me, and I was like,
see?
Oh my gosh. And again, not trying to toot my own horn. I just think that we work really well together, right? Like the two of us just really work well together. But I loved that idea of who would you clone? So maybe it's not a favorite. You don't have to call it a favorite, even though that's who it is. But
that part.
It's like, who would you clone if you could have five more of them?
The interesting part about that is that there is a question that is a part of implicit to explicit where it does acknowledge what are some of the non-negotiables that have to happen in order for you to work well and to partner well with someone.
Well, and so
let's say it's the whole, like, you know, they're detail oriented or they take feedback well, or they adhere to deadlines, or they communicate directly. It's knowing those things, because that's what really makes that person end up being that, you know, that favorite or the one you want to clone. That's how that happens, because those things that are conducive to that working relationship that you want and that really does create the best space for facilitation, that's what it is that you want. And so if that can help people to maybe feel a little bit less guilty about it,
right,
that it really is about what are these aspects or behavioral traits, personality traits that do make a difference. It's about understanding what's the person that feels like we are in relationship really well and I want more of this. That's really what it is.
That's so, so right. And it's those behaviors. So often, yes, we can get very caught up in the demographics. Like, I think that's such an easy slope to get into and just stay in, and like age, gender, those types of things, which, I mean, again, for ads, sure, not so much for other things.
No.
But thinking about the behavior traits, once you are working with someone, which I recognize that you don't know until you do.
Right.
And speaking from my own experience, we recognize very quickly what we don't appreciate quicker than what we do. So like, start there of like, I've been asking my clients, what pisses you off?
Just that's tell me one of our big things. What has you fired up and raring to go? And that's right. The thing. But here's the beauty of it. When you go through and you have those kind of questions, document it.
Yeah.
Don't let it go. Like, that's data. And it's important to have it. And so when you're like, you know, this did not work the way that I wanted to because this person, you know, for example, for me, it's really challenging when someone is like, just give me the formula and tell me what to do. I'm like, that's not how diversity, equity, and inclusion work goes. If you want a formula, you don't really want to do this right now, or you don't want to do it with me.
Right, right.
And so if someone is like, I want a formula, and they kind of want to treat it like marketing, or they want to treat it like such a, you know, boom, boom, boom type of business process, that's not going to be a good fit.
Yes. Oh, I love how clear that is of like, there's even certain words or phrases that you can look for and hear in like, nope, that's not going to be it. That's the red flag. So then asking those questions up front, like these, you know.
Exactly.
That was four step.
Right. And recognizing when someone is like, you know, I have a lot to unlearn. I don't know what it is, but I'm really open. And I'm also open to, you know, it being pointed out if I don't do something in the best way so I can figure out how to do it better. It's like, so you're open to being imperfect. You're open to being redirected if there's an opportunity and having something different presented to you. That is what I prefer to engage with.
You can even see, I know people can't see you on the podcast, but I bet they could even hear it in your voice of how different we speak about things of, you know, we can all do that with our clients and think about, oh, what just gets me like, yes, yes, yes. Like, I want to work with you. I want to work with you versus like, I don't know. Something's not working. That's,
I don't know what it is, but this is,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so good. Well, I want to honor your time and make sure that everyone knows how to find out more about you. And I want to call attention and give you a huge shout out for your podcast, Pause on the Play. I love it. It is so helpful. It is just packed with greatness. And so thank you for doing that. So I want to encourage everyone to go listen to your podcast. But how else can people find out more about you?
Again, my name is Erica Corday. I am over at Pause on the Play. That is where I would love for you to come and learn more about me, because that's where you're going to go to first anyway.
I love this. See, it makes it so easy when you know the first step. It's not hard to say, like, go here.
It is Pause on the Play. And when you come on over to the website, you will be able to learn more about the podcast there, which we've done a lot of work to make sure that we're also accessible. That's not just in creating this audio and written content, but to make sure that these articles are written in a way that anyone that is taking it in, that isn't taking it in the way that it was initially created, can still get the context of it. Or if you just are a learner that wants access to all of the above, you have that. So you can learn more about the podcast. You can also be able to learn more about Implicit to Explicit, which is our signature workshop. You have to go through this with us. I'm telling you, it will change everything. You'll be able to learn more about that as well. And if you want to reach out, you have questions, you want to work with us, you want to be on the podcast, you want to have me come on over to your podcast, you can also contact me through the contact form section there, which is interactive. So you can do video, voice, or text. We really try to make sure that the accessibility piece is there, and not just because maybe there's a disability there, but because we all have different ways that we like to communicate and connect, and we want people to feel welcome and able to be there and to know that things were made with them in mind. So pauseontheplay.com, give you all the things.
I love that. Thank you for not only explaining where to go and what to do, because that's super helpful, but also why you did it. Thank you for doing that. It is super helpful. I have learned so much from you in that aspect, just by learning from you on your website, on your podcast, and connecting with you. It's super helpful. And I think more of us want to do that. And the best way, at least for me, to learn is to see it.
Yeah.
And to see it in action and to say, oh, that's a really cool idea. Number one, reach out and say, thank you. Thank you for sharing this idea. And two, seeing how I can implement it in my business. So thank you for sharing all of that. And thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
I hope that you were so inspired by Erica's story about how she figured out what the before step was. Whenever I heard her talking about this, I was like, this is just an incredible lens to think about how we can partner and work with people, especially service providers. But even if you have a product, thinking about what is that before step and really understanding what that is and how your people are finding you. It's just a unique lens, and I really love it. So I want to leave you today with something that Erica said towards the end, and it's actually part of her workshop. So that before step for her clients is her and India's workshop called Implicit and Explicit. And there is a question that she mentioned that I thought, this is what the next step is. So this is what I want you to think about. What are some of your non-negotiables that have to happen in order for you to work well and to partner well with others? Isn't that such a great question? I just really love it. And I want you to think about that. What are these non-negotiables? And I know that what you want is to help everyone. I'm aware of that. And I want to help a lot of people too. But the reality is, we are not the best fit for everyone. And not everyone is the best fit for us. So thinking about who you work the best with, who would you clone? Thinking about what that looked like as an experience, and then understanding what are those non-negotiables that you want to put in place so that you can have more successful client engagements, more successful customers, whatever your wording is that you use, what is that? Give yourself some time to think about this and then move forward. Also, don't get stuck. So you heard Erica talk about how they realized what it was, they moved forward, they did some things for free, and then they moved forward to paying, having people pay for it. And that is a big thing. Don't get stuck in providing something for free just to be learning. It's never going to be perfect. So don't wait until it's perfect to start charging for it. And if you decide that the before step is a free option, of course, make it your freebie, but make sure they're giving you their email address. That is the exchange of value instead of money. So enjoy this process. Ask that question of what your non-negotiables are. And until next time, give yourself permission to know what those non-negotiables are and build them into your business and grace along the way. I'll talk to you soon.